Chapter 1. Going In. I recognized the scrawl. I eased the point of a knife blade into the flap and slit open the envelope. It was the letter at last from Babe Allsworth, the bush pilot.
Come any time. If we can't land on the ice with wheels, we can find some open water for floats.
Typical Babe. Not a man to waste his words. This meant the end of my stay with Spike and Hope Carrithers at Sawmill Lake on Kodiak. I'd driven my camper north and was doing odd jobs for them while waiting to hear from Babe. Their cabin in the Twin Lakes region had fired me up for the wilderness adventure I was about to go on. They seemed to sense my excitement and restlessness. I could use their cabin until I built one of my own. I could use their tools and was taking in more of my own. I also had the use of their Grumman canoe to travel up and down 12 miles of water as clear as a dewdrop. I left my camper in their care. I waved to them as I heard the engines begin to roar, and then the land moved faster and faster as I hurtled down the Kodiak Strip on the flight to Anchorage. Babe would meet me there. May 17, 1968. At Merrill Field, while waiting for Babe to drop out of the sky in his 180 Cessna, I squinted at the Chugach Range, white and glistening in the sun, and I thought about the trip back north in the camper. It was always a good feeling to be heading north. In a Nebraska town, I'd bought a felt-tipped marker, and on the back of my camper, I printed in big letters, Destination, Back and Beyond. It was really surprising how many cars pulled up behind and stayed close for a minute or two, even though the way was clear for passing. Then, as they passed, a smile, a wave, or a wistful look that said more than words could. Westward to the Oregon ranch country and those high green places where I'd worked in the 1940s. On to Seattle, where a modern freeway led me through the city without a stop, and I thought of the grizzled old lumberjack who bragged that he'd cut timber on First and Pike. Hard to imagine those tall virgin stands of Douglas fir and cedar and hemlock in place of cement, steel, and asphalt. Then the Caribou Highway and beautiful British Columbia. Smack into a blizzard as I crossed Pine Pass on the John Hart Highway to Dawson Creek. And all those other places with their wonderful names, Muncho Lake and Teslin and Whitehorse, Kluane and Tok Junction, Matanuska and the Kenai. The ferry ride across the wild Gulf of Alaska and a red sun sinking into the rich blue of it, Sawmill Lake, and now Anchorage. The weather stayed clear, and Babe was on time. Same old Babe, short in body and tall on experience, wiry as a weasel, sharp-featured. Blue eyes that glinted from beneath eyebrows that tufted like feathers, a gray stubble of a mustache, that stocking cap perched atop his head, a real veteran of the bush. Watch is the weather, his son-in-law once told me. He knows the signs. If they're not to his liking, he'll just sit by the fire and wait on better ones. That's why he's been around so long.
Smooth through the pass, Babe said. A few things to pick up in town, and we're on our way.
We did the errands and returned to load our cargo aboard the 180. Babe got his clearance and off we went, Babe seeming to look over a hood that was too high for him. A banking turn over the outskirts of Anchorage, then we were droning over the mud flats of Cook Inlet on the 170-air-mile trip to Port Allsworth on Lake Clark. I looked down on the muskeg meadows pockmarked with puddles and invaded by stringy ranks of spruce. Now and then I glanced at Babe, whose eyes seemed transfixed on the entrance to Lake Clark Pass, his chin resting in one cupped hand, meditating as usual. I searched the ground below for a moose, but we were too high to see enough detail. Suddenly the mountains hemmed us in on either side, steep wooded shoulders and ribs of rock falling away to the river that flowed to the